The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio. Monday, March 10th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I am your host for the day. I see time just sped up on me. I mean, yesterday I was busy sleeping. That was yesterday or the day before? Yesterday I was busy sleeping, and when I wake up, my hour just gone. And no one can explain where the hour gone. And nowadays, all of my timepieces is done through the internet. You know, you have your phone, I have my smartwatch, and my computer. It's not like that set time that I can watch time fast forward or time drops back. It's as if someone is manipulating my world, that I just live and things happen around me without me paying any attention to it or making any effort to stop it. It's just that time just sped up. Anyone notice that? Nowadays, it seems as if the days go by quickly, the weeks go by quickly, the years go by quickly, as if there is some type of clock that is racing to some type of finish line for this undetermined conclusion. But that's just me. Today, we're going to have an open line Monday. An open line Monday means that, hey, you can call in and talk about almost any topic. Because some things is taboo. And I say, man, I can't talk about that. But I'm willing to entertain it. You explain yourself and I'm willing to entertain it and willing to give my opinion on it. Or if you wanted to enlighten us. Of course, we happen to talk about anything that's trending also in social media and all the world. Of course, I invited Erin Green to join me with this. She was actually reading a story to me about this hit and run accident, the traffic. And this particular case was about a gentleman who just happened to get knocked down. And when he got knocked down, it was like a hit and run, and it was unexplained. They're asking people for information, and the family was kind of concerned. Said, no, man, this is not no regular hit and run. They think that is deliberate. And of course, it went into investigation. And the police said, okay, we'll entertain, investigate to see what exactly would happen, because right now it just looks like a hit and run. The gentleman is riding some type of motorcycle, bicycle. But more detail is on it. And I just let Erin story, and we'll hash that out and go further. Go ahead, Erin. Morning, by the way.
Good morning. Think about the days going faster. Mm-hmm. I feel like we old, Nuri.
That's what it is?
Possibly.
Or when you're younger, it just seems longer. But when you get older.
Yeah, because I yearn for sleep. I yearn sometimes for the sun to go down, you know, so I could get a good 12 hours of sleep. I think it's just old age. Okay. Here's a story in today's Nassau Guardian. Hit and run is now a murder, armed robbery. Authorities are now treating a hit and run incident that took place on Robbins last year as a murder investigation. A 21-year-old man is expected to appear in court today to face charges in connection to the June 24, 2024 death of 19-year-old Jamsley Richmond. The suspect will face charges of accessory after the fact to murder, accessory after the fact to armed robbery, and accessory after the fact to receiving. Prosecutors say Richmond was deliberately knocked down because robbers wanted his motorcycle. He was found injured in the street, but his XTZ-125 Yamaha motorcycle was missing. The suspect is already on remand for two other armed robbery charges. If I'm not mistaken, the family of the deceased had petitioned the police and then the state to, I guess, continue an investigation into the death. I think they believed that it was more than just an accident. And so it's great to see that the police did continue investigating. That part, right? It's great to see that they did continue investigating. It is, of course, tragic and horrific to hear that a young man lost his life.
And so young.
Somebody wanted his things.
Yeah. And so young. There's a number of Bohemians who are now opting to get motorcycles instead of cars, automobiles. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's a different trend. You know, I'm always concerned about motorcycle gangs. I use gang loosely, not meaning a bad connotation. I'm just talking about a pack of people. What do you call it? School? Motorcycle pack? Motorcycle gang? What do you call a group of people who drive motorbikes together?
Yeah.
It's a motorcycle gang. There's no negative connotation I'm trying to say. I'm just saying there are a number of motorcycle groupings that traverse the Bohemian
Maybe they
street.
Call themselves crews.
Crews?
Crew.
Okay. Bike crews that traverse the Bohemian streets. There are a number of people who just don't get any license plates anymore. You see the motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no license plate attached. I'm not sure why that is. I'm just saying, I see you, Carl. I'm coming to you right now. Just recently, I went to attempt, and hopefully a listening audience can help me with this. I went to attempt to license a bicycle. And I can say it again. I went to road traffic to attempt to register a bicycle. They sent me to room C.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, I have a bicycle. I want it licensed. What is it that I need to do? And the lady said, man, we don't license bicycles.
You have to have your bike license to be on
know,
the main road.
I know, but I'm trying to explain to you what they said to me. Uh-huh. They said, we do not license bicycles. I said, you got to license bicycles, because I remember being young and I could see the small license plate on bicycles. Then I'm realizing that people who do bicycle riding for exercise,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're also driving a crew type people.
Yeah. The competitive cyclists.
They don't have no license plate on their bicycle either. I'm being watched. I stopped a few of them and said, well, they went to road traffic also. And road traffic telling them don't license their bicycle. I'm going to continue the story.
Okay, I have a good friend who's a competitive rider as well. Yeah. She used to be. And I think she had to get a license plate for her bike. This is 15 years ago.
Ask her if they get it. Because remember they had the Ride to Hope recently?
Ride for Hope, yeah.
None of them had a bicycle license on it. Being asking, can you check for me to see if they have any? Because I remember I have my issue. I went downtown, check out the police. They have police bicycle cyclists downtown. I'm not sure if you know. There were two or three of them. Guess what? None of them have a touch on them.
That's all right. They don't enforce traffic controls either.
they don't have that bicycle license plate on them. So I called my insurance company.
Did you notice that ATVs only have one plate on them in the front?
There must be two.
Of course.
We talk about that. Let's finish this bicycle thing. So I went to my insurance company
mm-hmm.
and said, hey, I have a high-end bicycle. I need to get it licensed. You know, because I was speaking to a person who licensed vehicles. And he said, you need insurance. Okay, maybe the road traffic tell you they do not license because you need insurance on whatever vehicle to be on the street. Right? So I went to my insurance company on top of the Hill Collins Avenue. And I asked them, hey, I have a bicycle, a high-end bicycle, it values some money. Can you insure it? They don't insure bicycles.
You can get your bike.
You go to your people to me and ask them. Because that one on top of the hill, it's two companies joined together. One right here, one right next. They don't insure bicycles. So I don't know what to do. I can't get the insurance to go to road traffic to get a license. But that's my pet peeve. I just want to say it out loud in case someone could call me and direct me to what to do.
After you take the call, I can tell you something.
Yes, just go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Do you know how I can license my bicycle?
Pretty sure. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just trying to license my bicycle.
Yeah, just a quick question, right? Why in this world would you want to even ride a bicycle in Nassau? I'm just asking. Make it make sense to me.
Because I'm fat.
Yeah, but you won't live, right?
You should see me trying to walk.
No. You would like to live, right?
Yeah, man.
As bad as we drive, you really want to ride a bicycle in Nassau, right?
Yeah, I bless. But I need a license in the meantime.
I wouldn't do it if I was you. But anyway,
go ahead.
We can't drive. We really can't drive in the Bahamas. I sent Miss Green a video, right, of a orangutan at a zoo driving a golf cart. And that orangutan actually drove better than us.
No, man.
You don't believe me? Miss Green, please show him the video, please. By Fusion Superflex, why do people continuously stick half the car in the middle of the road coming from Fusion going across the road?
That whole entire section is odd in terms of trying to get around the roundabout.
Fusion
Bahama Boulevard and then the airport road.
Okay, so here's the first thing. Like you said, you started off on the right premise. Isn't it obvious that Bahamians have no respect or regard for the law anymore?
We don't care. And not we as a me or you, but in a large majority, people simply don't care. I've seen almost about 16 almost accidents on the weekend. One was by the church, I think it's St. Barnabas Church, right? That's the one by the gas station where they do the government vehicles.
Yeah, that one
there. One car was trying to get in the food store while one coming straight, while one coming out of the yard from the gas station, while one going around the vehicle.
I made my way down Wolf Road to come to work one day last week, and I take my oat to the Billy Goat. I don't know why I made that decision. Right there, the food store, St. Barnabas Church, the gas station. Right there, Nassau Street Police Station could fund itself for the rest of the year just issuing citations and tickets in that area. And all it is a complete and utter disregard for the law. What is disheartening is that y'all will park your car on the sidewalk in a walking community. People who could afford a car, right, and who could afford to go to fancy food store is come down to the poor people food store and park their car on the sidewalk that poor people need to use to stay out of the road from y'all bad drivers. And what makes it worse is y'all don't have a problem doing that on the sidewalk in front of the church. I just like, where y'all is go to get the application to become a Christian? What are the questions on your form? Right? Because it is just heinous what people feel like they're allowed to do with their car and while they're in their car.
Also, Aaron, I see SpaceX is in the news again. I see there's a team, an international team from SpaceX they came to retrieve whatever debris that was left. And that debris, I think I saw a notice from the government.
Do you mean that beautiful Ministry of Tourism flyer? Yeah. Let me tell you why I call it the Ministry of Tourism flyer. I have not forgotten that the name of the ministry is the Ministry of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation, mm-hmm. right? I haven't forgot that part, mm-hmm. right? But why you had to use the fancy Island of the Bahamas logo on it? Why not the Civil Aviation logo? Why did they not issue the notice? Why the people who concern themselves about heads and beds issued the very important notice about space debris recovery?
It's a valid question, and I see your point. It's two different ministries in one, but the letterheads are different.
They should be. And the point is, they should be different, mm-hmm. right? The investments portfolio in the Ministry of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation, the investment portfolio should have its own.
And I'm sure they do, even if it's a government seal.
Why they can't find it?
I guess whoever decided to write that letter opted not to use it. I see, I want to read that into the record so Bahamians will be aware of what's happening. And also Mr. Darville, who is an environmentalist, is raising concern about SpaceX debris. And I'm still trying to find out, and I haven't seen any independent lawyer raise any concern or any official in government raise any concern. And so remember, I tried to separate the two SpaceX issues, mm-hmm. right? There's an international, and I can put it like this, there's an international company that is launching rockets to go to Mars, the moon, etc.
Mm-hmm.
That's separate and apart of whatever we...
Our contractual agreement.
So let me do a slip thing, right? And so they have arranged with the United States, someplace in Florida, Cape Cod, whatever.
Canaveral,
to launch rockets. And it seems that the entire Caribbean, because they had a picture of what all Caribbean nations could be impacted, the entire Caribbean seems to be over that launch area. There has been no word from CARICOM as yet that I've seen. There has been no word from any... I mean, we saw something from Turks and Caicos, but not anything to say they have launched an official complaint. They just said doing investigations, right? I see a number of Bahamians are concerned or raising concern about that, even though they're conflating the two issues. Have you seen any lawyers in or no. any environmental saying we will take action against this international company for this particular issue?
Not at all. Not at all. But on the matter of conflating issues, right? The two most recent explosions, right? The one that took place with last week and then the January 16th explosion, right? That's from a project called SpaceX Starship Rocket, right? That's the SpaceX Starship Rocket project. The Falcon 9 booster landing project is the project that occurs in collaboration with the Bahamian government.
Yes.
Right?
16 of them we have, right?
And so those are the two separate projects. The issue of space debris, though, landing is our issue, whether it's the Starship project or the Falcon 9 mm-hmm. booster landing project, right? Like that is ours to be concerned with, yes. no matter which project it is that's exploding. What I found fascinating about the SpaceX Starship rocket project is that after the January 16th explosion, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Authority in the United States of America, launched an investigation. Mm-hmm. What happened subsequent to that, or between January 16th, or when that investigation was launched, and the most recent investigation, is that apparently Trump fired the head of the FAA. Mm. And so I think it's within that chaos or incoherence or lack of clarity that Musk launched another rocket when protocols would have required rocket launch, Starship rocket launch, to be put on hold until the FAA investigation was finished.
There's another launch scheduled shortly.
Starship or?
Starship.
Right. And so, although that is an American jurisdiction issue, whether they are launching rockets before the procedures or the protocols have been finalized or completed, although that's a SpaceX and FAA issue, we also have an interest in it.
Yes. This is what I said. I haven't seen any of the Caribbean nations interject themselves to say, hey, we have concerns. Any official pushback. But I would like to say that it seems to be a race. I think the last time when it's going to Mars, and not Mars, the moon, there's like a space race. Mm-hmm. It seems to be a space race again happening in the United States. However, I think the United States opted for to be funding it instead of the government to be funding it. And this is why I think that the playing nice, saying, man, you have the money, right? We are interested in your findings. We are interested in your conclusions. But since you have the money and you could afford it, we will watch you do whatever it is that we can get the benefit of the findings. And I'm saying that to say this. They are prepared to have him launch.
Yeah, that's extremely problematic, though. Like, is a government obfuscating, right? Is it abdicating its obligations by putting this into private sector hands, mm-hmm. and saying, well, the private sector did it, not us, the government.
And that may be so, but we know that when they launched the various satellites for us to have these cable televisions, et cetera, they had splash landings inside the Bahamas before. But we've been more technological criticism and concerns, right? But the technology that we have now in terms of these satellites in space where we can do the weather, where we can...
Not we. Pause. Well, when you say we, let's...
The world.
Let's quite... Okay, because the world could do it and we still can't.
Well, we, because we don't have no satellites. We use their satellites. And that's how we have our own...
Then we don't have... Then we don't... We have our own meteorologists.
And we have our own radar thing. Doppler. We have a Doppler radar thing. And they use that same satellite they put in space.
They're using the beige computer?
Not at the
point is,
office.
If we don't own the satellite, then it's not ours.
You think we need to go and pursue our own launching of satellites and stuff?
No, I'm just saying I think it's important to state the terms correctly because
it's not really we
are not really benefiting.
Even though we are providing our airspace and our waters for them to splash land in, that's ours. We online now with their technology in space in order to go internet.
Their technology, they own it. Yeah. And when they want to take it away, they can do what they want with their things.
Let's go to the caller. I think they say takeaway. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green is with me. Go ahead, caller. Producer Patch, that caller through. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, my question is, the Trump administration basically said that leaders in the Caribbean who are using communist Cuba doctors and nurses in their hospitals, their leaders are going to get their passports revoked. And now, do we have any Cubans working in the hospital government facilities?
Well, official response of the Trump administration, that was by, and I saw what you're talking about, and forgive me because I should have read it properly. It was one of those proposed questioning whether it should happen. But I will entertain the conversation in terms of, yes, we do have Cuban nurses. Definitely, I'm not sure about Cuban doctors, but definitely we have Cuban nurses.
In essence, you're telling me that's not so.
I'm saying that it was not an official statement by the Trump administration to say that's what they plan to do.
Okay, but someone who was in the administration spoke of it, but not Trump.
There were a number of persons who are proposing all kind of things in the Trump administration, but not necessarily it will come into being.
Okay, but what if it does?
What if it doesn't?
No. Let's look at the word.
No, I'm trying to do what if. I don't like playing the what if game. That's why I put it that way.
What do you mean, what if it doesn't?
What you say, what if it does?
What if it does? Because right now, it is nothing. It's happening. So what if it does?
So let's stay in the present.
Question.
Let's stay in the present, and it's not in effect, nor has it been proposed, and therefore we can get as many Cuban nurses and doctors that we see fit to take advantage of.
Okay.
But Aaron wants to respond to you. Don't hang up yet. So go ahead.
I'm going to read from an article that was posted yesterday in Loop News, the Caribbean Loop News. The headline is Health Ministry Making Contingency Plans Re-U.S. Policy on Cuban Medics. The Health and Wellness Ministry is proactively developing contingency plans to address potential disruptions in local healthcare services due to possible U.S. actions relative to the use of Cuban healthcare workers. Portfolio Minister Dr. Christopher Tufton... It's Jamaica News. Dr. Christopher Tufton made the disclosure while responding to questions on the issue at Thursday's Standing Finance Committee of Parliament. New U.S. rules affect Jamaica hosting Cuban healthcare workers, posing a substantial challenge to the country's healthcare system. In addition, the impact of the U.S. government's announcement could lead to visa restrictions for foreign officials and their families from countries benefiting from Cuba's overseas medical mission program. Tufton told the committee that the overall development could possibly impact the island's healthcare system. I also saw another story from Barbados that suggested that some Barbados state actors had already had communication from the U.S. about the policy. But no statement locally. I'm not certain. I don't think I saw a statement.
I mean, no. Carly, so go ahead, Carla.
Yeah, or they just simply didn't put it in the papers to basically, like, alarm the behemoth public. But, I mean, like, our government, I mean, like, basically all around, right? How this country has been run, how it continues to be run, and it's like America is doing their thing, and they ain't going to be on the contrary down the road at the Bahamas. Bahamas have to basically clean up its act, you know, because in this environment under Trump, that foolishness we've been enduring for years will not be tolerated.
Say that again. It's just the tone at which you said it. What foolishness will not be tolerated?
The foolishness will not be tolerated.
What is the foolishness?
The illegal migration and all the collusion with officials radio stations, they playing it. They don't know what's happening.
Caller, are you American? Are you American or are you Bahamian?
You asking if I'm American or Bahamian, Aaron?
Yeah.
By asking if you're Haitian or Bahamian?
I mean, I'm nationally, I'm a Bahamian. Ethnically, I'm African, which means that I could share blood with people who are nationally Haitian as well. I could answer that question.
Yeah, but then you share blood with that more than you share blood
but
with
Bahamian. But you seem to think that somehow Trump's administration can fix problems in the Davis administration? Trump administration can't solve Bahamian problems?
Yeah.
That's why I asked the question.
Why do you say such things, man? When Mr. Trump, he's all around the world trying to solve world problems, Bahamas problems, right?
That's what you think he's doing?
I beg your pardon?
That's what you think he's doing? He's trying to solve the world's problems?
I mean, more than you.
You think so? You think
he's on the radio, on the air, and Aaron, you know what? You know.
I was on the road. I was on the road marching on Saturday.
Aaron, you have an open line today, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's so ironic, right? Now, I tell you no lie, right?
Yeah.
Every time you can basically, other than when you're talking about LGBT and that thing, right? Uh-huh. You're always talking about traffic on the road. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what's more important? Our borders. You never want to talk about that.
Why don't you ask the Minister of Foreign Affairs what the Davis administration's policy is? He's actually not my cousin.
Your cousin Fred Mitchell?
He's not my cousin. There are different Mitchells in the country. Did you know that?
He is. Yeah, but he's technically a cousin
line,
still.
Man,
he knows that
anyway.
He's part of HHC. He gets you.
Aaron, you got to stop, you know.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's go to the next caller. Don't make it serious to have a whole conspiracy theory. But
everybody in the country, right? The radio host, the government, everybody is conspiring to allow illegal migrants in, and Trump is going to fix our problem in the Bahamas.
Sensible people don't pay attention to Trump. Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, the CA Nuri.
Hey, good morning, Aaron Cuz.
Good morning.
And good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning to you.
I don't know what that gentleman was talking about because Trump, some kind of a few problem. He is actually making the situation worse rather than better. It's just going to take him and them a while before they realize it. But I am like the Canadians. I am a Bahamian and we can bond together if that's what we want. You understand? Mm-hmm. Trump can't fix his own problem. What he thought was a quick fix turns out to be his nightmare. So let's not go there. You understand? But I wanted to say,
yeah.
They were not just talking about nurses and or medical practitioners. They were also talking about teachers. They were talking about any workers used from Cuba. Was what I heard.
We do. We also have Cuban teachers here too. But Aaron just Googled something, right? And we just see a response from CARICOM about that. So we'll read that into the record. So more Bahamians are aware of what exactly is happening. What is the...
But it's not the comeback is not against Bahamians, you know. They were saying the Bahamian officially, they didn't say passport because they have no jurisdiction over our passport. They were saying the U.S. visas would be revoked for the government officials and their family.
Government officials, meaning MPs, has the green passport or the red passport. They diplomats, that, right? You don't stop diplomats.
But that's what they're saying. They're saying that diplomats. They will stop diplomats. They will remove diplomatic visas.
They didn't say all Bahamians. It was just to the diplomats.
Hogwash,
and
man.
You understand it?
That's Trump talking
foolishness. That has much to do with the rest of us who are not related.
That's Trump
talking
foolishness.
You understand? But what I wanted to... My question today was... With all of these rockets and proposed rockets launching business with SpaceX, what is their end game? What is the purpose of all of this is my question. What is it all the rockets launching here and there and everywhere?
You're talking about the Starship. There's a Starship and there is Falcon 9. The Starship is trying to have space tourism in terms of flying in space, also travel to the moon as space tourism. As an option, traveling as far as Mars as possible. They're thinking about 200-400 years from now, right?
And that's what all the trial and error failings coming about.
It's the same thing with airplanes. Some people say it's impossible for man to even be in the air, and as we know, people fly in airplanes.
Right. So
I just want to know what the end game was because I'm curious of all the going ups and voicing down. I was just curious.
A distinction. Starship is, like Mr. Zanuri said, they are testing the components on that vehicle for a larger project, which is taking people like to the moon and to Mars.
Yeah, I understand.
Falcon 9.
That they were trying to
right.
do.
Falcon 9 project, they are launching satellites into lower orbit to be a part of a communications network.
Okay.
Which we use.
So that's the same thing that and that's the same thing that Canada just they had signed on to and thought to sign off from after all of this trade war.
Well,
what's that thing, that satellite internet we all getting nowadays? Starlink?
Yeah,
I think the Canada thing was that Starlink technology that Canada's opting out of right now.
Yeah, and so the trade war and Musk's presence in the Trump administration has prompted a dynamic where a number of Starlink partners mm-hmm. have pulled out, like SpaceX or Starlink partners have pulled out of the agreements. They are hesitant or resistant to work with Musk now.
Okay, all right. I'm just curious. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's go to this. Pause 2 minutes, caller. Let me read this article about the CARICOM because I want us to make sure I mention it. Go ahead, Erin.
All right, so here's an article from publication Caribbean Life. CARICOM seeking response to possible U.S. revocation. Caribbean community foreign ministers say they are expecting a meeting with a so far high-level but unnamed member of the Trump administration to discuss recent official threats to revoke the visas of Caribbean government officials in countries that host Cuban medical professionals. Concerned that this new policy could affect nearly every CARICOM member state, the ministers met virtually over the weekend to discuss the issue following up on the leaders' meeting held in Barbados late last month. They had also looked at new policies of the Trump era and how these would affect the 15-nation bloc. Trinidad Minister of Foreign Affairs Amory Brown said that the governments want to seek additional information and clarifications from the U.S. State Department, as most of our member states have engagements with the Cuban Medical Brigade. Additionally, CARICOM foreign ministers are arranging a meeting with the U.S. Special Envoy for our region in Washington in the second week of March. This meeting was convened specifically to discuss a CARICOM response to the State Department's announcement regarding states working with the Cuban Medical Brigade, quotes Brown said. The rush to clarify the new policy followed a recent announcement from Secretary of State Marco Rubio that foreign government officials linked to Cuba's exportation of doctors, nurses, and other professionals, entry visas revoked as part, quote, of the expansion of an existing Cuba-related visa restriction policy that targets forced labor linked to the Cuban labor export program, close quotes.
So CARICOM is meeting with...
Well, no, they met. This article was February... Oh, this article was posted on March 4th, so they met...
No, I'm talking about they plan to meet with the U.S. officials, or they have done that already?
No, they are requesting a meeting.
Okay.
They met. I think they met and they spoke, and this is what came out of their meeting. You want me to take the caller?
Yeah, take the caller.
I take the caller, and then I'm going to tell you what's happening in Panama. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Are you still there? I apologize if we missed you. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back from the break, Mr. Nuri, if you will allow me, there have been recent evolutions, I guess, in Trump's migration policy, and there's big word from Panama, the first, deportation flights have landed in Panama with a number of migrants, many of which are not Panamanian. Very interesting turn of events. You're listening to Guardian Radio with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Bombers, are you ready? The world is coming to us here for the 2020. 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer World Cup qualifiers. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium next to the Sydney Poitier Bridge. The Jungle Beach Boys, top five in CONCACAF, taking on Mexico, USA, and El Salvador. Beach party meets world-class soccer. Non-stop action, jungle rhythms, great food, and pure vibes. And it's free. Bring your crew, ring your cowbells, beat your drums, no whistles. March 11th through 16th at the Beach Soccer Stadium. Visit BahamasFA.net for details. Bahamas Beach Soccer, pure vibes.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri. Of course, we have an open line Monday, and we're talking what is trending in the news. I'm not sure if you know, Aaron, that in the U.S., with this new immigration policy, they were saying that they were looking for countries who would take in... So if they're deporting Bahamians and say the Bahamian government said, man, that person is not Bahamian, they're not accepting them here in the Bahamas... The United States sought out countries that would accept these rejected people. And I want to know if you were aware of that or if you get any update on that, because I find that peculiar. How can a country take in non-citizens and say, okay, we'll let you stay here?
I've heard about it. It's very concerning to me because it signals a return to some of the most heinous practices within chattel slavery and the transatlantic slave trade, right? So you are deporting someone from your country and you are not returning them to their country of origin, right? The country where they have
And they just put them status. In any kind of random country, say, hey, you go in here.
It's kind of random. If I read a bit, here's a nest deports 119 migrants from a variety of nations to Panama. Panama has received the first U.S. flight carrying deportees from other nations as the Trump administration takes Panama up on its offer to act as a stopover for expelled migrants. The Central American nation's president said Thursday, quote, yesterday a flight from the United States Air Force arrived with 119 people from diverse nationalities of the world, President Jose Mulino said Thursday in his weekly press briefing. He said there were migrants from China, Uzbekistan, Pakistan, and Afghanistan, among others, aboard. The president said it was the first of three planned flights that were expected to total about 360. Quote, it's not something massive, close quotes, he said. The migrants were expected to be moved to a shelter in Panama's Darien region before being returned to their countries, Mulino said.
By shelter, you mean concentration camp?
Kind of. It does. Well, when we read further on, several of the migrants suggest that it was coming to that. That's what they felt like, right? Continue reading. Asked later Thursday why Panama was acting as a stopover for these deportations, Deputy Foreign Minister Carlos Ruiz Hernandez said that it was something the U.S. government had requested. He also said the U.S. government was paying for the repatriations through U.N. immigration agencies. The migrants who arrived Wednesday had been detained after crossing the U.S. border and did not have criminal records, he said. Last week, Rubio, U.S. Secretary of State, met with Mulino in Panama while U.S. President Trump's demands to retake control of the Panama Canal dominated the visit. Mulino also discussed Panama's efforts to slow migration through the Darien Gap, and he offered Panama as a bridge to send U.S. deportees back to their country. Rubio secured agreements on the trip with Guatemala and El Salvador as well. The Darien Gap connecting Panama and Colombia was down about 90% in January compared to the same month a year earlier. Since Mulino entered office last year, Panama has been completely willing to participate and cooperate in this request. Has made dozens of deportation flights, mostly funded by the U.S. government. Ruiz said Thursday that Panama, quote, has been completely willing to participate and cooperate in this request they have made of us. Right? Another article, U.S. deports 119 immigrants of varying nationalities to Panama. And then here's where it gets even more interesting, Mr. Newry. Panama releases dozens of detained deportees from U.S. into limbo following human rights criticism. After weeks of lawsuits and human rights criticism, Panama on Saturday released dozens of migrants who were held for weeks in a remote camp after being deported from the United States, telling them they have 30 days to leave the Central American nation. So remember, in the first article, the president or the minister, affairs minister, said that this whole program is in collaboration with the U.S. and has been being funded, right? The migrants being returned to their home destination is being funded by the U.S. government through U.N. immigration agencies. But these individuals who have been released have been given an order to leave the country. Again, we'll read, Panama on Saturday released dozens of migrants who were held for weeks in a remote camp after being deported from the U.S., telling them they have 30 days to leave the Central American nation. It thrust many like Hayatullah Omag, a 29-year-old who fled Afghanistan in 2022 after the Taliban took control, into a legal limbo. Authorities have said deportees will have the option of extending their stay by 60 days if they need it. But after that, many like Omag don't know what they will do. Here's what is interesting as well. So these people were essentially detained in a camp. The camp is near the Darien Gap, which is infamous, right? That's the path that walking migrants are taking up through Central America from Colombia into Panama. If you release them in their own recognizance, you tell them they have 30 days to leave, or they could apply for a 60-day extension. Some of the migrants in this article indicate that they're just going to turn around. In fact, I could read, others turn their eyes north once again, saying that even though they had already been deported, they had no other option than to continue after crossing the world to reach the U.S. Yeah. The deportees, largely from Asian countries, were part of a deal struck between the Trump administration in Panama and Costa Rica.
Okay. We have a caller. We're talking about U.S. immigration. But you see, it's a trend in social media where it seems as if this election, as usual, immigration is going to be in the forefront,
mm-hmm.
right? Some people say it's xenophobia. Some people say it's nationalistic. Some people say that our government is not doing enough to protect our borders. Therefore, they are lobbying for our government to be accountable to Bohemians, right? Even though their language sometimes be sensationalism. But I'm not sure if you saw some of the clips, when I say social media, mm-hmm. buzzwords type clips to get people emotive. Do you think it's appropriate? Do you think it's making an impact to raising the awareness of Bohemian people that something needs to be done? Or is just a lot of emotions out there? But let's go to the caller first, okay. And then you can respond to that. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You have an open line today.
Good morning, Mr. Nguyen. Good
morning, morning.
Hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, man.
I waited more than a week to call back Mr. Nguyen for open line so I could say something to Ms. Green. I had called more than a week ago or so when I was talking about the Claire Hodel program that the police was dealing with. You remember that, Ms. Green?
No.
I had told you that I didn't feel as if what the police were doing was priority number one, that they were in the communities, and I told you that what I felt as if my opinion was that they were in the communities doing. You remember that? When I was talking with about the marijuana bill partner, the police officers was there doing that instead of that thing. Remember that?
I think I remembered attempting to steer clear of a space where we suggested that the police were involved in said nefarious activity, right? Like I was trying to steer clear of that because I wasn't certain what you were intending with your words.
I'm glad you even said just now. You were in clear what I was intending. But see, Ms. Green, what I didn't appreciate.
Because the words that you use didn't match the tone or the energy that you had. It was almost as if you were trying to say something without saying something. And the sort of subject that we were talking about is so important and so sensitive that it's important to be very clear. But I don't want to be in a space where I am expected to allow people to just say anything they want to say because they spend in 6 cents to use the radio, and I just supposed to sit back and nod my head. I have a responsibility to ensure that what is being shared over the public airwaves, right, is sound, and it is within like a legal scope, and that we're not going to evoke violence. We're not going to incite violence or rage. We got a grand responsibility, and sometimes when we err on the side of caution, we upset some people. But ultimately, the responsibility is ours, you know? And so if I upset you, I apologize, but the burden is heavy, and we must ensure that what is shared on the airwaves while we are in control of the mic. Yes, sir. You're right there.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. Well, see, Ms. Green, the reason why I said it is because, see, I feel as if, Ms. Green, we need to raise the level of communication and everything else. We need to dialogue properly, et cetera. Like, on example, on the radio, when we have a conversation, we should do it in a manner that we want the rest of the public to demonstrate it, and we have a conversation also. All right? Now, what I didn't appreciate about that day, Ms. Green, is because...
Hold on. You call in here to chastise me? That's what you call in here to do today, to chastise me? You could get my number from the producer, and I'll book you an appointment. It's $100 an hour. If you want to chastise me on the public airwaves, it's going to cost you. You're not going to be able to do it, but maybe you could.
So you can chastise people, but they can't chastise you, Ms. Green?
Mr. Nuri, can I repeat? I can chastise you on the airwaves because the responsibility as a host or someone in the front of the mic is greater than the responsibility of the person on the telephone. Yes, I can chastise you. And in fact, I have a ethical, legal, and moral obligation, right? When somebody is saying something on the verge of, on the edge of, about to, I have an obligation to err on the side of caution and ensure a mistake that cannot be rectified is not made. That's it. Yes, you're right. I can. And I apologize if that upsets you.
Good. Let's talk about immigration.
Yeah.
And the tone and the objective of the critique, especially in this space where the United States is doing a great effort. I'm using great loosely. I'm not saying it's a positive effort. It just seems as if they're doing a great effort in terms of getting people emotive that they're doing work in terms of saving the United States. And there are a number of behemoths who claim that we need to adopt the same type policy, even though our immigration aids and policing, whatever it is. Can we do more? Should we be doing more? What about the narrative or the emotive words being used by pseudo-politicians in this space?
Okay, can we do more? Yes. What is it that we're actually doing, and what is it that we want to be done? I think more focus needs to be placed on the clarity of the message, right? Those messages on social media are emotive, and they are problematic. Here's why they're problematic, right? Mm-hmm. They're problematic because there is a lack of coherence in messaging, right? We have a state actor in the name of a Mr. Fred Mitchell, mm-hmm. in his capacity as Minister of Foreign Affairs, mm-hmm. or Chairman of the party, I don't think it says MP for Fox Hill, has chastised us, the public, for our insistence on wanting to talk about immigration issues. On multiple occasions, he has said to us, the public, why are we making so much noise? Can't you see the writing on the wall? Can't you see what the Department of Statistics, he has responded to concerns about what appears to be a lack of focus and attention on what some people call a crisis on the border, right? Mm-hmm. He says, and he said, I refer to 3 points he made in one single article. He said, first of all, we need to expand the labor pool.
Yes, he did say that.
We have a labor shortage. We need more people to work. Mm-hmm. Second thing he said was, we need to expand the gene pool. Our families are too tightly knitted, and perhaps I will insert here, he didn't say this, but maybe the BRCA breast cancer gene is a clear example of that. He says we need to expand our gene pool. And then he said we need to expand our tax base. Mm-hmm. We need more people paying taxes to fund the government's services, right? And so in his last iteration, he said, y'all didn't read the statistics in the last census. Births are down, right?
He did say that recently.
And so those messages are problematic, maybe not in and of themselves, but when you juxtapose a government that does not speak clearly as to what its position on immigration is, right, then those emotive messages become more concerning.
So let's say Minister Mitchell is the official spokesperson for the government regarding immigration. Using those four quotes that you reiterated just now, what would you conclude? That's you now, your conclusion.
Right.
What would you conclude is the official government's, this administration, government's policy regarding immigration?
I would
Based on those four quotes.
I would conclude that their official policy is that we need more migrants, and they are working to be able to receive more migrants. Now, I think there is a crisis. I think the crisis is an administrative crisis, right? If you indeed do need more migrants, and if the reason that you put forth is that there is a labor shortage, then why have you not created a structure, a program, and infrastructure, legislation, policies, and regulations to govern a contract-style work program, right, which allows you to attract the labor that you say that you need, but documents it and regularizes migrant labor in a way that responds to the concerns of the average Bahamian, which is they could come here and work. Bahamians say, look, we know there's a crisis in Haiti. We know that you need to make money. But when you come, do the job home with the money that you made, and then allow somebody else to apply and have the same opportunity to make money.
We need to have a discussion on this in terms of the plan for the government. What should the government be doing? But I think one of the concerns is housing. If you regularize the system, where will you have these people stay?
Right. And so that's why I say, is it a migrant crisis? No, it's an administrative crisis, because even though they say they need the migrants, they are not at the same time ensuring that there is legal, standardized housing for the same migrants they say they need.
Recently, and we're going right now, Kermit, recently we saw a house in Abaco, which was pegged to be demolished, to have the print stamp on it. And 2-3 years later, the house is still there. And the gentleman said, well, when he explained to them that he has children, but he has a work permit, the government said, hold on, we'll get back to you. 2 years later, he's still there.
So the crisis is an administrative crisis, and it is a very simple thing to identify. The government cannot move at the pace of its own policies.
The government cannot move at the pace of its own policies to hash out in the future. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. This show is brought to you by CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championship. Is going to be happening in Malcolm Park Beach Soccer Stadium in Nassau from March 11th through March 16th. Just come out and watch our junk and the boys. It has been a wonderful day. You take care of yourself.
Bravery is a piece of my heart. Call me by my name, I am ready to roll. Once the rules remain the same, how the story's been told. Call me anytime, never cop out.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.